Need everything to fit. Go to a blues dance and you got a chance. What a slim chance that by midnight things might start. They say West Indians always late. Leave everything to fate. But bear one thing in mind. When this slave ship crossed the Atlantic, we reach on the tick of time. We reach on the tick of time. Even the sugarcane had to sigh and say, "Man, you're early. I wasn't expecting you till the next century."
Village beggar. Cousins, one and a half. How you do? Life rests of eye to eye. It's always love. It's a blessing to come and to see you. It's better for walk for nothing than sit down for nothing. A man with half a leg must dance near him door. Good friends you can buy. Cheap bargain take money. Better go heaven a papa than go hell a rector. If Aunt wallowed too much in fat wing grown out, you stretch your hand and with God and grace. And no more grace need I say, cousins. One, how you do? That was made up completely out of Jamaican proverbs, based on a factual account of a beggar used to come around village and used to make a statement with proverbs. This other one also is based on a character in my village. He was a village bush doctor, you might say, and I call him Old Tata Nego. Tata is the word for an old man who is very well respected. To sweat out somebody bad fever, old Tata Nego boiled bush and bark, like old woman a pound spice of cocoa beans. And him not frightened any sore foot looking like a bad cave in a bad stink. Him not frightened to wrestle devil out of bawling madman grinding teeth. Him not frightened to pull out bad teeth with him pliers. Him not frightened to get news from a good dead. Or send away a bad duppy who throw stone in a dark night on house top. Tata Nego, not known to turn back any blow of obia, asked to be turned back. We only joke Tata Nego how, pushing 70, he boil him own strong back drink and still have a baby born every year. But we know Tata love having a house full, cause Tata love the getting of children. And this is just a dialogue between two men in a rum bar called Peacemaking. Man, you don't have to bow down to me to say you're sorry. Just lean from rum bar counter with me and say, give him half a bottle of rum.
See, the next poem by Louis Bennett. We have some people back in the Caribbean, we call the bean tools. You know, they've been to Canada, they've been to America, they've been to England, and they come back home, you know, and they try to talk posh and impress people. You see, to really appreciate something about the Caribbean, you've got to understand the reverence for the word, you know, the reverence for the power of the word. That's why you've got many politicians who can manipulate people. We've got a politician back home who wouldn't speak about a change of attitudes. He talks about attitudinal metamorphosis. So, I mean, I'm telling you these things to start setting your minds on that dimension, right? Throughout these cultures, I mean, Africa, I mean, the West Indies, you'll find this legends and stories which have even You can't tell now whether they're stories or folklore. I'll give you other examples. A certain superintendent of traffic back home used to make speeches on the radio every morning. So he said things like, the reason why you got an increase in petty crime is because many of the streets are so dark, they need to be eliminated. There's an increase in traffic because there are so many cars on the road, people are becoming more motivated. So you have these kinds of stories all around cultures like that. To me, there's another story about Amin, right? That we're going to Africa now, trying to impress the Russian ambassador how well he can speak English. And then the Russian ambassador says, I'm pleased to meet you too. He says, I'm pleased to meet you three. Amin wanted to go one better than the Russian ambassador. So bearing all of these things in mind, the lore surrounding the word, very, very important, the whole magic of the word that springs out of the West Indian culture. This boy coming back home to Jamaica tries to impress, talking very posh. What's wrong with Mary Dryfoot, boy? Them girl got him for Mark. When we meet him the other night, the boy give me a shot. We tell him if auntie and him cousin said howdy. Me ask him how he getting on. The boy said, oh, a job. We start to feel sorry for the poor bad lucky soul. Me think him come from foreign land, come catch bad foreign cold. Me think him have a bad soul throat. But as him chat go on, me find out, sir, is foreign twang, the boy put on. Look, me get a joke, and the girl and laugh, but hear the boy. I'm sure you got that bomb there. She's from the bloody cinema. Same time me last me temper. Me said, boy, get out. No chat to me with no hot potato anymore. The boy stand up stiff like him stunted. Hear the boy. I don't think I understand you, actually. Not really. Me said, you not understand me? Now you name Kojo Scoop, now you always visit Nana kitchen and Gila for bunga soup. Now all you can tell me is, actually, the boy, stop. What happened to them sweet, sweet Jamaican joke you used to pop? The boy get vexed. The boy walked to the door. He head into the ear. The girl and laugh out after him. Hey, the girl and hello, not going? What? Oh, dear.
It's very interesting how when you're a child you can see things, but sometimes they have quite a logic. I recently, well, only yesterday, I was working with some sixth formers. I saw a film called Why Prejudice? And in this film, there's a psychologist, and he was carrying out tests among children, black and white children, to see their response to each other. And he noticed something particularly about a white child. And this girl, when he questioned her and asked her why she didn't like to sit next to a black girl, she said, It makes her feel as if she's going to have a nervous breakdown. And it's very interesting. And so, you see, there's a kind of logic. I mean, the child reflects the kind of logic which comes from parents, and also, often, sometimes, which comes from its own perception, its own understanding. And this poem, I call Questions of Childhood, I Didn't Know, I Shouldn't Ask, in the Caribbean. It did a puzzle me, why poor people not those given lots of money, and why hungry people not those get invited to king's house banquets. It did a puzzle me why mad people not those given sweetest music makers playing just for them. It did a puzzle me why the only white boy I did know did I handle my father's first name naked, with no little dressing up of Mr. or Mas or cousin? It did puzzle me why our bloom-faced women didn't get teamed up with our clod-faced men, and why all the thinnest women didn't get teamed up with all the broadest men. It did puzzle me why now and then my father did dress up and go away not allowed, but because he'd bring back lengths of fine cloths, my mother's face did only take on a smile. Well, this next one, I'm going to ask a few members of the audience to help me with this.
Before we come to this important aspect, James is coming into now, which is cricket, right? I mentioned this thing about the power of the word, because bearing in mind historically, right, people who wielded the word in the Caribbean, like the priest, right, you associate the power of the word with lawyers and the governor, right, and things like, people, doctors, scribbling prescriptions in Latin, old headmasters, right? If you look at the Caribbean society, you find lots and lots of stories about people who have got a folkloric reputation for using big words. Another important aspect of the Caribbean reality is cricket. It penetrates all aspects of life. And I don't think people, there was a fascinating program a few weeks ago. Somebody was asking, the Caribbean seems to produce fast bowlers like mangoes. They seem to grow like the way they grow in mango trees. And there was a program about cricket, and a prophet was talking. Usually the fast bowlers came from the lower class of society, right? And they were usually jet black. And you find the captain and the middle order batsmen tended to be light skinned, because in the Caribbean you've got this aspect of pigmentation. You had people like Godard, captain of the West Indies years ago. So you've got these light browns, right? So what you had was a class confrontation. And don't forget that a fast bowler usually feels like a boundary. So he's got contact with spectators. Right? So you have that cross bridge between the fast bowler and the spectator, like the masses, so to speak. And then you've got these light-skinned batsmen. So when you see a fast bowler coming up, it's a confrontation. Now that takes on a further edge when we play against England. West Indies, we enjoy beating Australia, we enjoy beating Pakistan, but with England, they're a special edge. This is Caliban, the fast bowler and native, bowling against Prospero, the colonizer. See, about that confrontation, right? And when I say Caribbean cricket penetrates all aspects of Caribbean reality, you've got to be there to understand it. When you've got cricket going on a test match, people are driving cars and riding bicycles, and they've got a transistor radio glued to their ears. In some offices, you can't get a check signed. The accountant has gone to test match. This is part of the reality. The bureaucracy is completely in shambles. People have gone to cricket, right? So the waste of time. You might as well give them a half day for cricket, right? And all aspects of life, they bring in this cricket imagery. Right down to being like somebody using a sexual image. Suppose you're saying you wouldn't have sex unless you got a contraceptive. You'll hear people saying quite goodly, boy, I wouldn't bat unless I have gloves. Right? I'm just trying to show you that all aspects of Caribbean reality. I think all this background is important to put your whole consciousness within the Caribbean reality.
Well, on this cricket note, I'm going to try and involve four gentlemen and two ladies. We're going to have it live again. Cricket is a discontent. And this is post-mortem after a cricket test match. And West Indian telling you about what happened. So we need some West Indian supporters and some England supporters. Four gentlemen and two ladies, at least. Two ladies and four gentlemen. We need two too much.
Grounding with the brothers, and he has about how Europe can develop Africa.
13 last year when he was killed, right? And there again he was bridging two races, as you know, between the blacks and the East Indians. There were these conflicts. He was bridging that, and he was a threat to the regime. The bomb was placed in his car, assassinated. So you've got another kind of reality. And his little son also writes poetry. From the 40, he wrote a beautiful poem, just 2 lines. He said, "Once again the silver tongue has slipped, but this time most fatal." So this poem I wrote, I'm imagining it, it speaks for itself. The mother talking to the child. From that window, child, no use looking for Daddy Carlite. You won't ever see Daddy Carlite. From that window, child, all you'll see is stars burning bright. You won't ever see Daddy Carlite. From that window, child, I know in your heart you're asking why. In my heart too, I wish the news was lying. Come from that window, child, tonight I feel the darkness bleed and can't tell flower from seed.
I had to write quite a few poems about him. And this is one of them. After he died, thoughts of my father. You are bone clean now. You're lost like dice and teeth. Don't bother now. I won't represent you. A sound grain you were, your body a mastery. But no turning into any stepping stone or handing anybody a key. Simply, it hurts that needing we offended you, and I judge you by lack. Playing some well-shaped shadow, the sun alone moved. You wouldn't be mixed with cash, all the world's cunning. So perfectly exclusive, you tantalized me. You split our home in passions. Every year we were more blunted. I knew nowhere. My eyes looked out from you, my first god. Omnipotence breathe. Come, boy, come to hungry belly revelations. Lift your hat to doom, boy, in the manner that roadside weeds are indestructible. Stubborn tides you echo. I moved your sterile tones from my voice. I lifted your mole from my back. You scar me, man. But I must go over you again and again. I must plunge my raging eyes in all your steady enduring.
All measures equal to life, any union.
Silence, and I became obsessed lover of the dance and now, prompting mystifies. Most of myself unconnected, I am strange, unfathomable eyes surround me. No one is my grandmother, no one is my grandfather. Sounds are not my unfinished novels, but smells of open deaths and birds fill my senses. And in this hounding of blood with innocence, wild scampering make songs deep in seasons. Reinstate me, oh, rededicate me, rededicate all of me and all of our dead dumped at sea. I hear riddles, I hear proverbs, I feel my tongue lap old words, I hear chants, and I exorcise a castaway in hypnotic rites. I have no tutor, I have no wants, I feast, impulses poison my body, we dance in dust, we dance, we dance, we dance, release is one unworded pledge. In drumming with found faces, in drumming with found faces, I am new spirit out of skin, I am new spirit out of skin. In drumming with found faces, I am new spirit out of skin. Thank you.
Yeah, one of the things, you know, is that the fragmentation created by various colonial powers, right? Like, I mean, I'm from Guyana, next door to Brazil and Venezuela, but we knew nothing about our neighbors, because they were speaking Caribbean, you know, you gravitate towards the mother country, and what it comes, London. In Guadeloupe and Martinique, they are still regarded as departments of France. Any important educational decision in Guadeloupe or Martinique gets the okay from Paris. So someone in Guyana knew nothing about what's happening next door in Brazil or Venezuela, right? Similarly, people in Trinidad, completely unaware of Haiti, you are aware of London, Paris, the metropolis. As one person was pointing out, you could see Martinique from St. Lucia on a clear day. But a telephone call from Martinique to St. Lucia goes via London and Paris. That just shows you the reality of the region. But since independence, the society is now becoming more aware. There's more of a regional consciousness. You've got an important event like Carifesto, where for the first time you'll get artists from the non-English-speaking Caribbean. You see that the danger within the English Caribbean of being trapped in one language. If you speak English loudly enough and slowly enough, the world will understand, as you all say, right? That's why I must do a poem by the poet from Guatemala.
Sad face. You're so full of you for me. I lose myself for you. Punununus girl, you're so wrong and free. You consider you so hard for me. I get better than me for you. Punununus girl, you're so wrong and sweet. Every day, like palm limbs are touch, in rain and sun have breathe, we go greener and greener for we. Punununus girl, you're so wrong and sweet. Next one is called Air and Clock. You will see the term air here represents the female and clock, the male. She freezes him and holds him. Keeps him half dead. He holds her, makes her sour, and goes to sleep. She rushes him, refreshes him, and shatters him. He holds her, contains her, and makes her damp. She blows and flows and makes him open up. He holds her, absorbs her, and swallows her. She showers him in scent and seeds and dust. He holds her and blends her into growing life. This is, I see this as a black youth in one of the inner cities. It's the moment when he makes love to his girl. It's the only time he gets a terrific sense of freedom, of happiness. But you'll also see that there's also an element of selfishness about it. Moment of love. And he's thinking all this. It all comes from him, from the kind of joyousness he feels. Sweet rose, you're pretty. Lord, Lord, hold this time. Hold it till Joshua, like Joshua, steal the song. She lying here, I follow. I brim full with joy. No empty pocket on me to drag me. No locked head of mine to fill me. No government debate to bug me. Only she, lying here, needing not a word. And I sing sweeter than any blackbird. Sweet rose, you're pretty. Stay good and don't get beery. Stay good and don't get beery.
So I saw all different poets, and they respond to a different kind of sensibility. Just a few weeks ago, seeing a rainbow in the sky, you know. The real words of what might respond to a daffodil, you know. suddenly seeing this rainbow, this arcing rainbow, reminded me so vividly of a limbo dancer. When you see the rainbow in the sky, you know God knows what he's doing. One big smile across the sky, the man got sky. The man got sky. But when you see the rain clouds pass and the rainbow make a show, is God doing limbo? Is God doing limbo? But sometimes, you know, when I see the rainbow so full of glow and curving like she bearing child, I just want to know if God is a woman. If that is so, the woman got star. Man, she got star. For the first time, on the BBC television, Ladies and gentlemen, the first time on BBC television you've got a black weather forecaster straight from Jamaica making his first appearance. So you've got a beard with him. I'm nervous. The outlook for tomorrow, rather grim. Much the same as yesterday. Scattered clouds bursting across Scotland and the northwest. Wicked showers bursting across the British Isles. Clouds to the left, clouds to the right. 14 degrees centigrade. No one ten. 10 degrees, thank you. 10 degrees, 10 degrees centigrade. 54 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, as I told you, the outlook for tomorrow pretty murky. So you better stay at home and unless you're lucky. Well, as I said, for most of the country, grey showers, the exception being Brixton, where there'll be a sunny spell. In fact, it will be hot like hell. So if you're thinking of somewhere to go to escape the snow, Brixton is the place to go. I'm glad you're coming. Thank you.
England today faces Crete trying to smile. Over coats were guests who were staying. Sun kissing of nakedness became the rage. The sun came out and people felt like hearing good news. Neighbors stood at fences wanting to talk. The sun came out in England today. Tree branches pushed themselves in the roads. Old men fell into lakes and parks, trying to get on boats with young girls.
Marvin Morris from Jamaica. The Nancy character, you know, people, before we come to Uncle Ralph and so on, the Nancy character, which you would know about, that kind of spider in the folk tales, that's the value of that, the trickster in so many folk tales throughout all cultures. You might have the rubber rabbit, you might have it in the hare, in the trickster, and these tales cross the Atlantic from West Africa to the West Indies. And the clever spider, the underdog, powerless underdog, so to speak, the slave got a great release when telling these tales, because in identifying with the clever spider, who had to survive by his wits, outsmarting the bigger animals like tiger. Tiger became the slave master, and Nancy the spider was the slave. So by telling these tales amongst themselves, they got a great release. And you speak of the Nancy mentality. You know, the Caribbean, you have to survive by your wits, right? Dumped together from different lands just for the interest of the planters. You have to survive by wits. You've got the Anansi mentality. If you look at Calypso, for example, you've got the smart man is always doing fight. You know, like one Calypso speaks about a Bajan who opens a fountain in Bolo Mountain. I wish him well. People will come and throw coins in the fountain. And at the end of every evening, he will come and collect all the coins and say, "Oh, it is mine." Until one could be a policeman came, caught him and said, "Not this time." Right? So you've got that sort of situation. The Anansi archetype, right? The very clever spider. And that archetype is really what you might call the root of the trickster politician or the trickster preacher man or the con man, the modern day type character, or someone even trying to dodge immigration. You've got a remarkable number of ways, you know. It all comes back to do with this tremendous regard for the word, echoing this thing about the word, you know, because you've got these characters throughout our folklore. One particular character back in Guyana, George Potato, an old policeman in the days when you chose them not on intellect but on brawn. Right? When they, in
And whenever the phone rings, he would salute. Right? Once they got, he caught a man in Carmichael Street. He couldn't spell Carmichael. So he took him to Water Street and charged him there. I mean, these things are, I mean, they're all lower, but they show you the power of the word. So now Anansi has crossed the Atlantic, he's gone to the West Indies, but now he's come to England as well. The Anansi Carol, modern day Anansi. This one, two poems I'll read for you. He is charged, right, for stealing a bottle of milk. So this is what Anansi has to say to the judge. Your Honor, you call that stealing? You ain't got feeling? Your Honor, if you hear my story, you're bound to have sympathy. I was walking along the road, was a terrible downpour, and just outside somebody's door, I see this bottle of milk stand up there. It looked so frosty. It looked so lonely. I said, poor thing. You will catch cold. And Your Honor, take my word for it. You know that bottle will get up and come under my coat. Anansi is being, you know, invited to come for an interview, looking for a job in London. This is the letter Anansi writes. Dear Sir, Madam, or MS, as the case may be, I don't believe in leaving things to chance, so I am writing to apologize in advance for my late arrival at your forthcoming interview. You did say be there at 9, but if perchance I arrive at noon, do let me assure you, it would be through no fault of mine. Please bear in mind, I would have tried to get there soon, but since in these efforts I shall no doubt fail, I trust you blame it on British rain.
Work of legacy, but oh, how you can hear Music blazes up a whirl and circulates your five to make leaping body talk in tongues you don't have outside your dance. Cause Ralph, what's happened to you now? Where all your dancing gone?
Cause I mean I don't know. I don't know. And I'm not even old.
Steampunk is a remarkable phenomenon, and I see that as a parable
of Caribbean personality. And I'll just do one from this collection, which I'm now working on. It's called Pan Recipe. I'm hoping that these will be red with steamed pan when I'm finished, then eventually. Pan Recipe. First, rate a people. Simmer for centuries. Bring memories to boil. Foil voice of drum. Add pitch of pain to rain of rage. Stifle drum again, then mix strains of blood over slow fire. Watch fever grow till energy bursts with rhythm thirst. Cut bamboo and cure. Whip well like hell. Stir sound from dustbin. Pound handful biscuit tin. Cover down in shanty tongue and leave mixture alone. When ready, will explode.
Inhabit conquerors and subjects, inhabit priests and devils,
inhabit fertility goddesses and snakes, inhabit tigers and things with wings. Come into art work, into factory work and footwork, trash limbs, excite the throbbing in and out of world, free sometimes, change sometimes, move crowds and intensities, percussion charges with sun, and moving thoughts and clothes and costumes, hardly muffled stubborn drums, drifting to the tone, on, steadily. He is dragon and she demon. He is baby doll and she Tarzan. Dancing wings are a trailing cape. Walk upon tree leaves with humming birds. Walk a great flower or a fly. Walk a castle or a sailing ship. Sack an ancient city again. Deliver mock of visions. Become grotesque, heroic, satirical, new song, burst anew. It is some people,
it's some people,
it is some fire,
it's on fire,
it's Sophia,
it's Sophia,
it's other song makers in trance, by the dance. You want to watch parade of customs and gowns as supernatural world goes by, follow, spinning hollow. We are the beating skin of hands. We are the resonance of earth and skin. We are the resonant earth and steel. We are the resonant earth and chant. We are the resonant earth and rhythm. We who will never breathe. Power of a raging pulse. We are high. We are wild. In sunshine. In having flood of dandruff feeling. In having color. In music. In jumbie. In having color.
It's Sophia. It's on fever. It's Sophia. It's on fever. It's on fever. Sorry on that. Danny Bird, I hear you. Sorry. It's on fever. It's Sophia. It's on fever. It's Sophia. Sophia. It's on fever. Mark in your mind. I hear you. Mark in your mind. Flavor. Mark in your mind. Flavor. It's Sophia. It's Sophia. It's on fever. It's on fire. It's Sophia. It's on fever.